my name is Claire, and I'm a Seaside Sessions podcast with
Abigail Hubbard.
And we are here because we're not miles apart away from each other in genres. And we're going to have a little chat about the things we write, how we write, and what our influences are. So, Abigail, tell me. Oh, hello. So tell me your writing process. How does oneth beginneth a writing process?
Well, oneth begins the writing process. It varies. Like, when I first started, it was always the music and me kind of playing around on the guitar, finding some chords that I really like, and then that would evoke some kind of emotion, and then I would start writing. But now I actually write just a lot more, like pen to paper.
Oh, right, so words, like
just the lyrics.
Old school.
Yeah. And I've got into the habit of just keeping a notepad with me and writing gibberish. And then kind of picking apart that, and then, it comes that way, really. I've never had a kind of, like, I sit down and I think, right, I'm going to write a song. I kind of sit down, have a little play on the guitar, and then let something grow kind of more organically. And I find that I've been doing that with the lyrics more recently as well, kind of.
Nice.
Not sitting down and thinking, today I'm going to write a song about the weather. I've never ever sat down and thought, I'm going to write a song about something. I've just let it come out. And quite often I'm surprised at what comes out.
I think it's great. It's very, in a very nice way, it doesn't make any sense, but it's a great nonsensical way when I hear yours and Matt's songs.
Yeah.
Very spacey.
Yeah.
Ethereal.
Yeah.
Mindfucky.
In a good way?
Oh, God, great. Everyone wants that. You need that. If you don't have that, then what's the point in writing? What's the point in making music if you're not going to make someone think?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
I am Claire Pitt-Wigmore. Recently become a solo looping artist of some sorts.
I like that, solo looping artist.
Solo looping artist, that was just something that came to my head now. I play with Nifty, a rap, rock type band. I play with other people as well. There are other bands. I think we'd be here for a long time if I went through the other people. But that's my sort of main thing.
Nifty is your main.
That's the main songwriting band.
And how do you guys write as a band? Is it one person in particular, or do you all just jam together and then?
So with that, there's a process that kind of goes with that. So there's this guy, Pete. He writes the beat and the backing track.
Mm-hmm.
Pete will then send off to Harvey, who raps, who's the frontman. And he will write his words and stuff over that. Then that beat, backing track, is shown to the whole band. I then add in a little fiddly dingly dilly ding over it, or a bit of a boom boom boom.
Lovely.
Yeah. bass line's probably already in there. Drum beat, there's pretty much a bog standard hi-hat snare in the backing track, but Patrick the drummer will sort of add his own sort of bit to it. But yeah, I tend to write my own little riff in the band. And that's sort of comes elements of rap, rock, hip-hop, EDM, a bit of soul maybe.
Nice.
A bit soul as well, but it has got that sort of standard rap rock sort of Deftonesy, Rage Against the Machine-y type nice. Thing. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you guys find that you're getting a lot of gigs as well?
Yeah, I mean, we've only really been a band for 18 months.
Oh, okay, pretty fresh.
Yeah, pretty fresh. We've done a lot of sort of the local venues like Albies and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Which we still do, but trying to sort of push out of that Thanet world.
Yes.
Thanet world. We're just trying to get out of that little container.
Claw your way out.
Clawing. Yeah.
Yeah, anybody else out there?
Anyone, please help. We will be opening for Censor, the band Censor, if anyone knows Censor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be...
Don't, but I do now.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Some big band from the 90s. Some
oh, amazing.
Rap rock band from the
90s. Cool.
In Canterbury.
Whereabouts in Canterbury?
At the Penny Theatre, I believe. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't actually know too much about it yet, but I will soon.
Yeah. More details to follow.
More details. TBC.
Yeah, to be confirmed.
Yes. So there's that band. I have a function, a two-piece function little thing.
Yeah, I've seen that on the Facebook.
Ebony Moon.
Yeah, like it.
Yeah, and that is your standard function-y type songs, you know. Everyone's out in a boot. Way, you know, it's all like, Sweet Caroline, ding, ding, ding. And everyone's buzzing off their nut for that kind of stuff.
Wonderwall.
Oh, when that gets thrown in, the room
goes wild.
Oh, it's on fire.
Yeah, that is the one.
That is the one. But we will probably try and, you know, maybe write our own stuff. Even if we don't, just try and throw in some songs that we actually like and
enjoy.
Don't want to just...
Yeah.
I mean, it's great, but...
I mean, is it a bit more of a money earner kind of thing?
Yes. I'd say that. I always hate to kind of be like, I'm just doing it for the money, but... Yeah, I'd say when you do function cover stuff, yeah. I mean, obviously, I enjoy
it. Enjoying it as well.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's great.
For sure, yeah.
But it's, yeah. It is what it is, but it's very good, yeah. Yeah, and I've, as I said, started my solo stuff. Mm-hmm. And other bands in the past have sort of featured...
Hither and thither.
Here, there, and everywhere. Your bands.
Go on.
Tell moi.
Tell moi more. Okay, yeah, so I've got Lyosha, which is myself and Matt. And we've been together for a little while now, but we had kind of a two-year break, or just over 2 years, actually, when I buggered off, went travelling.
Oh.
Yeah, very selfish.
Standard, right.
Yeah. Nine. And then, so since I've been back, which has been about another 2 years, I guess, yeah, we've just picked up the project again and got completely new music.
Mm.
And, yeah, it's always taken it seriously, but now we're really kind of just pushing it a lot more. Mm. And I think just found our sound and style. I think sometimes it takes quite a long time with bands to really find your sound.
Niche.
Yeah. So I think finally we've got that. Mm. And yeah, I mean, we have released our first EP, which was released yesterday.
Oh.
Now available on Bandcamp and will be available on all other platforms.
Bandcamp. OG.
Yeah. So people can actually buy the EP.
Buy. And you can earn some money.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
So with the writing process with that, who sort of does what?
So I write the songs, yeah, in my room, in my flat.
I sit down
and I write the songs, and then I then just use GarageBand to kind of get like some other sounds and kind of write it a bit more, compose it a bit more. And then I send that off to Matt, and then he does his magic and he'll make it sound 10 times better.
Fair enough. So he doesn't actually have a writing input.
He will like put in other different sounds and write other kind of melodies and maybe put some more harmony in there. And yeah, always full of ideas, but the very initial kind of lyrics and yeah, guitaring. So, and I usually write on guitar and then write the lyrics and then, yeah.
I'd say that you guys have a very interesting name.
So yeah, when we were desperately trying to think of a name, we like literally every name that we came up with, we're like, right, we'll Google that name. It's taken.
As always.
Yeah And so we were like, I don't know. I stumbled across Lyosha. And I was just Googling away, researching, trying to find some inspiration. And, you know, the best way to find a name or think of a name is just through conversation. And we were like, oh, that's a great name. But it didn't happen for us. So we had to, like, do our, like, little Googling research and stuff. And I was like, ooh, Lyosha. And it's actually, Lyosha is actually a really small sea snail. And first of all, just liked the name, Lyosha. And then we thought, there's a connection there.
Sea snail. Yeah. that's so linked to our music.
But we live by the sea.
You live by the sea.
We live by the sea. There's the connection. And I always like the idea of just having one word name. And then Googled Lyosha. No other band is called Lyosha.
I mean, every time I think of the name, I think of like some cool ass surfer dude going down like wave, and then
there
it's like, and then the wave just comes up and it's like Lyosha.
Amazing. See, this is what we wanted.
I mean, I would never think of sea snout, so
yeah and Lyosha.
It's got a nice
word.
Sort of
yeah,
you could do like an advert where you're like, you know, it's like a minty freshness in your mouth, like Lyosha.
There you go. So, yeah, that's the story behind the name. And, yeah, if you type in Lyosha, I think we are, like, the top people on the Google search, and these things you've got to think about these days.
Well.
With the whole online presence.
Well.
So there you go.
That's it.
How did Nifty come around?
Nifty. Well, that came about... We were part of an agency / academy that is now... No longer. Nifty came about through meeting through this agency that we were all part of. And Harvey, the frontman, came with this idea and this vision as a rapper and then with a live band. So... We were sort of shown, there were two backing tracks that had already been sort of composed for this artist band idea. And when we were shown it, I think we were asked to write our own bits to it. So what I would do is I'd ask what the key of the song was in, I'd then have a little play around. I mean, I'll be honest, at first I thought to myself, how am I, me, going to play in some hip-hop rap thing? I thought, I'm all like, bing, 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 bing. And then it's all like, boom, boom. I just thought, I can't do this. But after a while, I started to think, Oh, no, this is sort of taking on its own little genre, actually.
Yeah, there you go, finding yourself.
We found ourselves. Yeah, it sort of became this mashup of sort of dubsteppy backing tracks with like a rapper and then this sort of rocky bluesy style playing that I very much like playing was sort of mashed into one. Now, at first I did think that will probably not work with this will clash, but well, I don't think so now. I think it's now decent. It's pretty average. And we have just pre-released our first single, which will due to be out properly in 2 weeks.
So, ooh la la.
I know.
What's the name of the
Hard to Sleep
single?
And it's yeah, how would I explain it? Quite a rocky, hip-hoppy, soulful, all the genres that I probably already listed, that sort of thing.
Into one.
Bing, bong, bing, bush. Here we are.
And is it through a label or are you doing it independently?
No, well, we were doing it through ourselves, sort of floundering a bit, I must say. It was all sort of like, who do we turn to? Where do we go to now?
Yeah, it's quite hard, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, that whole process. It's a long process, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Then, thankfully, Adam from Seaside Sessions, dun, 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 who's somewhere in this room.
Where could he be?
Oh, yes. Starts up his label, Lazy Days. Check that out.
Oh, Lazy Days.
Lazy Days.
with a Z.
Days. I'm just... Hope I'm making this... Anyway, Adam from Seaside Sessions, his label Lazy Days, which
with a Z.
Here we go again. Which has only been going for 2-3 weeks.
Cool, oh, it's fresh.
It's fresh. Oh, it's fresh.
Fresh on the scene.
So the first bunch of people, artists to appear on the label are Nifty, me, Solo Moi,
amazing,
and that's it, I think, at the moment. But more to be considered.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so it's I'm signed, bitches, you know what I mean?
Not just once, but twice.
Twice, you know? things happen fast these
they
days.
They do, and they always happen at once.
Like, when you least expect it.
Yeah, it can be quite quiet, and then all of a sudden, it's like, kapow.
So have you guys been sort of down the route of signing any?
We signed to Ramrock Records last year. And we signed two of our songs, so Blackout and Afraid to Walk. We spoke to Ramrock Records Red today, and they've sent us over a remix of Blackout, which sounds really cool. So we're fingers crossed, hoping that it's going to be like kind of August for the release. Mm. But all depends on, because it's going to be pressed on vinyl. So I think all depends on that process as well. But the remix is going to be sent off to be mastered. And then once that's done, send it off to be pressed on vinyl, get the artwork done and stuff like that. So, yeah. So far, so good with that. And then we've got that's Blackout EP. And then I think it's going to be a similar thing for the Afraid to Walk EP. So, we've got another song that's going to be on Afraid to Walk. So it'll be Afraid to Walk. Yep. It's called Morning, the other song, which is on a Seaside Session thing as well. So it'd be those two and I think another remix.
Nice.
So, yeah, fingers crossed that all goes well.
I'm sure it will. And do you find that you preferred the live experience or more of the songwriting behind the scenes atmosphere?
Oh, tricky one. There, I really enjoy both for different reasons. I mean, the songwriting process is obviously way more chilled and no pressure.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, although I guess it... Yeah, well, I'm only writing for myself at the moment, so there isn't really any pressure.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's just really enjoyable. I really love the process from sitting in my room kind of writing to then hearing the, like... end product that, you know, Matt then does his thing,
his
and
time.
then it gets mastered and
it's all exciting, yeah, and sparkly.
Yeah, and also the bit in between where we might get other musicians involved as well.
Yeah.
So on some of our tracks we've got cello played by Cello Man, and yeah, just the whole process and then hearing other people's kind of creative input on those songs.
Mm.
Yeah. I really enjoy. And then, yeah, the performing aspect. I really love performing, but I get really nervous.
Oh, my God.
So, but, and it's, I just...
Gin. Right, yeah. I think I'm okay.
Yeah, don't forget lyrics. Don't forget lyrics.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I hate the waiting bit.
It's
like
sickening.
from the sound check to then waiting to perform, I'm just a nervous, flappy... wreck. So and I actually have to tell people, like, I'm really sorry if I'm terrible at conversation. It's nothing to do with you. I'm just really nervous. I'd much prefer going into a dark room where no one can talk to me and then just go out and perform.
Yes.
Would much prefer that.
Yes, a dark room where you
I can just collect my thoughts.
Yes. But I mean, because you know, we did our gig back in end of May.
We did.
End of May? Or it was the end of May.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and we were talking about the whole, like, yeah, the nerves.
The nervous.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
do you get pretty nervous as well?
Well, seeing as I actually didn't really speak at all when I went up, yes, and I only really made a comment when, A, your phone went off.
Oh.
And B, I smashed my
guitar on the table.
The guitar on the table. And I just at that moment wanted a black hole to just sink me in. So I thought, I am an idiot, you know.
But what we must remember is that these things happen all the time.
They do.
And,
they
do. We're only human.
We are only human.
Yeah.
And, yes, I think I think to the untrained ear, people probably think, oh, God, this is amazing, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't know if you find that. But I find it, I'm just sort of like, oh, but I'm just a person. I'm just doing this thing that I've been doing since I was, you know, that high. And I think...
And you're always, like, well, I'm always hard on myself. Like, even if I've, like, sung wrong lyric or...
And then you're just like...
Timing was slightly out. I'm like, that was the worst performance ever.
Never again.
Yeah, I quit.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but really, then someone else will come up to you and go, oh, that was really good. It's like, really?
Yeah, and you're like, then you don't know whether to believe it, but then
you
think, maybe it is good. Maybe I should have a bit of faith in myself. But I think you'll always know deep down whether you write a good song or a shite song. And
there's no hiding a shite song.
Oh, there is no hiding a shite
or
song.
Or is there?
Well... I wasn't going to say anything, but, you know. Anyway, no. And, you know, I think I thought when I heard your set, I thought this is very well composed. This is very ambient and feely and...
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Same with your stuff. I mean, you put the whole emotion into it.
The whole gurning face.
The gurning face.
You know, that's... I mean,
but that's the whole part of the performance as well. You know, you got your whole, like, look and, and everything. You know, you hear your stuff and, yeah, you're like, oh, that's clear.
I'm very, very... Oh. Thank you. It does... I suppose it takes a while to sort of
build your own sound.
Yeah.
You know, I think for many years when I first started playing, when I was 10, you know, you're sort of going through the whole...
Stop.
And then it's all like...
Change chord.
Yep. So you have absolutely no individual sound. And it's only when you sort of start to write your own pieces and start to kind of, you know, have an understanding of the instrument that you play, what sort of genre that you want to sort of go down the route of, that you start to think, how am I going to bring me, my soul, into this?
Yeah.
And I think that's when you kind of know that you've got it, that you've got something going.
Yeah.
If people know it's you, and you know it's you, you know this is me.
Yeah.
And then you're just flying away. You're just like, yeah, this is me.
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it? If you just grew wings
and then
you were playing the guitar. And just then got lifted.
One, and then, you know, say if something...
There's a music video right there.
That's... I will probably use that. And it's also something, if you were to do a gig and it goes horrendously wrong and
you could just get your wings
away, smash open the window, fly away.
Sorted.
It would be a gig to remember. It really would be. Yeah.
So when did you start writing your own stuff?
So, I'd say I always, probably even going back to sort of 12, 13, when I would be sort of trying to write something. And I really emphasise on the trying because it was probably, I thought it sounded, yeah, man, this is like bitching, you know.
And then you
hear it back and then you're just like, oh, dear. But I'd say it probably started around then. Mm. And I think the sort of official writing process from when I started to actually get coherent sort of ideas and put them into one, I would say 17, 18.
Yeah.
That's when I started to actually make sense of what I was doing.
And was that when the loop machine came in as well?
The loop machine came in when I was about 19. I remember just thinking that might be able to help me with timing and practice. It was more actually to help enhance with my solo playing. So I'd loop three chords and then solo
and then
over
practice.
It.
Yeah.
And then a whole world was opened up.
Yeah. Oh, hello.
Oh. And some of my songs now, which are soon to be, you know, thrown out to all you wonderful people at some point.
Yeah, amazing.
They all started off on this...
Diddy little...
Little ding-ding.
Yeah, little ding-ding.
Little ding-ding.
So what are the songs that are going to be released?
Well, so initially they were all instrumental based.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I sort of started as a songwriter.
Yeah.
And I still do a lot of
instrumentals
type things. But then I was sort of, you know, those really sort of shy singers that secretly...
You do deep, have a little voice in there.
Deep, far away, in a kingdom that no one has ever seen. There's me going... And that, I think we're starting to reach that kingdom.
Yeah, full-on screamo in there.
Oh, it's going to be... Yeah. It's gonna be all
over your beautiful guitar playing.
It's going to be all that. I think baby steps, we are... getting there.
And it does take time, doesn't it, I think?
I mean, you sing live perfectly and I do look like...
Oh, I'm not sure about perfectly, but...
How? I wish.
Honestly, it took me ages to start singing and start sharing my own songs.
So raw. Like, it's your feelings.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so personal
that
it's like a piece of you that you're just sharing with these people. And then I always think, oh, if people don't like it, like, that's like...
I've been shamed.
Yeah.
Publicly shamed. Yeah. And that's me writing when I was in a dark, sad, emo time in my life. And I've just exposed that with some random fucker in
Ramsgate.
And then you're like, oh my God, I'm never going to live down with that.
Yeah.
So I think it's that, and then it's also the fear of you're going to start off in the wrong key. You do, whereas some people can just get up
just
and
belt
just
it out.
Belt it out. And I look and I'm just like, but I've got so much, like, just so self-conscious.
Yeah. But then, yeah, it just comes with, like, yeah, practice and finding your voice and your style of singing as well.
That is true.
Which may lead us nicely onto who are your influences.
Who are my influences? well, we've had many over the years.
Yeah.
I was always sort of influenced in terms of my leady playing, my sort of thing, you know, soaring lead guitar playing. I've always been sort of influenced by David Gilmour from Pink Floyd.
Lovely.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now this is when I go blank. You know, when someone asks you what band you like, and you're like, I don't actually like anything. I don't really
know.
Okay,
what did you listen to last?
Oh God, it was probably something like, it was probably like a guilty pleasure or something. But
go on, share it.
What did I last listen to? Actually, no, what did I last listen to? I think I was in the gym, and I think something like Air or Frank Ocean came on my So I think things like that. So it really is a very wide, broad range of. It's a great bit.
I think that's the best way to be, though.
Yeah,
because I've never been into one genre or type of music at all.
It's everything.
Like, yeah, just like. All sorts of music. So, and I think that's best way to be, because then you just take little bits of, you know, music and influences from all over the place, rather than just being like, right, iron, just
thrash metal,
just techno.
Technical, yeah. But I'd say, yeah, I've had to pick sort of three genres that have sort of influenced my sound. I'd say blues, soul, trip hop, maybe.
Oh yeah,
and I can definitely hear a bit of that in you know,
in Lio Sha.
That's it. In little she snout, you know.
Yeah,
in the little sea snout tunes.
Yeah,
I can hear a lot of Hooverphonic. You know, Hooverphonic.
Hooverphonic,
right? Okay, I'm sure.
That's an interesting name.
There's a band. There's a trip hop band. By that name.
Hooverphonic.
They're sort of
Portishead-y. Right.
Massive Attack-y.
Yeah.
I should have just mentioned them because they're the most known. But yes.
Yeah.
Your sound definitely reminds me of that.
Oh, I'm going to have to check them out.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure Matt would know of them.
Yeah. Quite likely.
Quite likely.
Quite likely.
Oh, quite likely. Quite likely. But yeah, I'd say my roots, though, it's always been deep down roots. It's been sort of like bluesy jazz. That's sort of what I learned when I sort of, you know.
Did you study music?
Yes. I got to, well, I also learned the piano as well.
Oh.
I got to grade 5 when I was 18.
Yeah.
I think. So I've had sort of like a foundation of theory and, you know, the old Schubert and Bach and all that.
Yeah.
All that stuff, which, you know, is great, but I can't say I've actually used that as an influence.
Yeah. Did you study music at uni or anything?
No,
or
I didn't actually go to uni. No, because...
Well, I think sometimes when you're in the creative arts, you don't really need to go to uni, do you? It's just like a...
No, I sort of
self-exploration anyway.
Mm. So, yes, what have been your influences?
Yes, definitely trip hop, as you mentioned.
Yeah,
the
can
big
hear that.
Names. Yeah, and actually, a big influence for me with singing was Coco Rosie. Do you know Coco Rosie?
That name does ring a bell.
Yeah, it's two sisters. American. Don't know too many details about them, but they just got a really interesting sound. One is more of like opera singer, and the other just has a really interesting tone to her voice and does kind of more spoken word rap.
Oh, nice.
And so, and the combination just works really well. And sometimes they play the harp, or they even use kids' toys sometimes to just like write nice. Their music. And I think that was a bit, like, big inspiration for me because, like, yeah, I don't know, just hearing different sounds and being able to use, cool. like, just everyday things to write and stuff like that. But not that I do in my music, but anyway, I found that very interesting. But that was more, like, on the vocal kind of side of things and exploring my kind of sound. So, yeah, Coco Rosie, and then... yeah, it's a tricky one, actually. It's hard to kind of pinpoint kind of certain artists from there because I just listen to so much different music. Mm. I mean, when I first started playing guitar, I was, same as you, playing a lot of blues and jazz and kind of, yeah.
Just the standard rock. Oh, yeah. Those books you'd get with the old Sweet Child of Mine.
Oh, yeah.
All the tabs written in it. Yeah, and then you thought you were just smashing out live,
yeah.
And then you look back and you're like, dear God.
Yeah. Yeah. And I must admit, at uni, I went through quite a jazzy phase as well. And I think that's where a lot of my influences come from now. Like when playing guitar, I straight away go to minor sevens, major sevens.
Of course.
Yeah, the ninths. I just love that kind of
the ninths.
That sound and the harmony and stuff. So, yeah, I straight away go to those kind of chords. And, yeah, moving on. And then, yeah, kind of got into that trip hop sound. Really, yeah, loved
it. Hoogaphonic.
Yeah. I must have heard one of their songs from somewhere.
I don't know why they came to mind. I remember hearing one of their songs and just thinking it was like it was. But, yes, you do have that sort of... Portishead type sound with a, I'd say you do have like a hip hop feel to it. When I see Matt going on, like,
well, he's got very much like a hip hop influence and like, yeah, definitely his background anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas with you, it's all sort of,
yeah. La 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 la. Is that what I look like?
That is exactly.
Is that what I'm like on stage?
It's you, Nugo. Not really.
So yeah, I think I'm going to say interesting sounds are my influences.
Oh, I thought you were asking me what my interesting sounds were. I was like, well, it could be anything.
So, yeah, I think I'm just drawn to unusual, interesting sounds rather than kind of a specific type or genre of music.
Mm.
So very broad.
So you play with Hello Gecko, I believe.
I do indeed, yes.
Tell us more.
So we're more psychedelic.
Oh, here we go. Brilliant. Oh, love it. That's the genre I didn't say.
Oh, psychedelic kind of. Rocky,
yes.
Again, slightly going into the trip hoppy kind of vocally sound. And yeah, so we're a 5-piece band, and we've they've been together for a little while, and I think I've been with them for about a year and a half now, I think. And yeah. We have been recording some new material, which should be released soonish. Haven't got a date yet, but it's recorded. We're getting all the artwork together and everything. So by the time this is out, hopefully, our music will be out too.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, it's really exciting. And we also work with a guy called Mark, and he does all the visual side of things. So when we perform, we actually have like a big visual aspect as well.
That's
so
cool.
It's quite the performance. And sometimes Nick will even perform with a gecko mask. So, you know, who doesn't want to come and see Hello Gecko?
It's basically Slipknot, but nature Slipknot.
Yeah.
And I dig that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's great fun. And, yeah, we seem to be getting quite a few gigs from it. We're playing in Dover on the 29th of July. And we've also, we're playing on the 17th of August. Where is that?
Well.
Where is that? It's well, somewhere nice and good. Oh, elsewhere.
Oh, yeah. Elsewhere is good. Elsewhere yeah. is
elsewhere. And actually, Laosha playing that day as well. So I've got Laosha and Hello Gecko on the 17th of August playing it elsewhere.
So do you think Matt and the members of your other band are going to be like this?
Yeah, competition. Yeah. Well, hopefully not. Hopefully it'll just be one big happy event. But you never know. So, yeah, we got that. And so, yeah, gigs are going well. And, yeah. And I've recently, we're kind of still developing our sound quite a lot more. Mm. I've recently got, like, a vocal effects thing.
Oh, is that one of those big
TC Helicon. Thing.
Oh, right, yeah.
My friend very kindly lent me, and it's just been amazing. Like, so you can control your own reverb and delay, and it's got that kind of telephone effect and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's just,
so
I'm just going to keep dropping that
yeah,
in.
Yeah, drop it in. So, yeah, that's really cool. So that's like a new toy that I've been playing around with.
Nice.
And, yeah, it's almost like another instrument, you know. So it's been learning that. Sussing out what sounds good and what songs. Mm. So, yeah, that's all been going very well.
Brilliant.
Very swimmingly. And how about yourself? Have you got any gigs coming up?
Well, yes. There's always something. So tomorrow I will be playing at the Hub One label launch, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
With Skinny Man headlining. Don't ask
I've heard about this event.
I don't know who... That's
Skinny Man, he's a rapper, isn't he?
I mean, I sort of found him online and I thought he sounds pretty good. But yeah. Prior to that, hadn't really... didn't really know a lot about him. But yes, yeah. So that will be a...
oh, that'd be cool.
Albies.
With Nifty.
Squangy Bobbins.
Squangy Bobbins.
Squangy Bobbins.
I think I've seen Squangy Bobbins before.
Squangy Bobbins. It's
a guy.
A guy.
Singing.
Well, a guy singing.
You playing guitar.
Yes, that's yeah.
And a drummer?
Maybe.
Oh. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Oh, maybe it's just a two-piece.
No, it's not, but
it's who knows? You're going to just leave everyone in suspense. What could it be?
Basically, guys, it's an indie rock band, standard sort of 4-5 piece.
Four-five piece
indie rock with a sort of a bit of folk.
Did you guys play at the Tom Thumb Theatre?
We did.
And did you guys play at Cliffs? Seaside yes. Session did a...
Were you there?
I saw you at Cliffs. And I even said to my boyfriend at the time, I said, she was born to play the guitar.
What a babe.
I was like, just her whole image. I didn't even know you then.
She didn't. I didn't.
I was like, God, she is.
Oh, love her.
So there you go. Yeah.
Anyway.
In the good books. Now.
I know. So, yeah, we did play that. We also played Dreamland last year.
Oh, yeah.
Which was for, like, a Battle of the Bands type
thing.
Oh, cool. But it was more the stage of Dreamland that I thought, I've made it. It's boom. It's sounding boom. It's
so your sound was just like,
oh, my God, it massive. Was like, it kind of went from boom to... Boom! Wow. And I was like, yes, here we are.
Yeah,
Margate. Margate, Dreamland Margate. But no,
the highlight.
Oh, that really was. Yeah. But the sound itself was amazing. It was one of those big ass stages.
Yeah, when the sound is right, oh, it just makes such a difference to your performance, doesn't it?
Here I go.
Yeah.
Those wings are flapping now.
Yeah. But in a good way.
Oh, in a good way. It's more, yes. So, yeah, with that, with Nifty, we've got Elsewhere on July the 10th. We've got our single launch gig on the 12th.
Yeah.
Ebony Moon have a few gigs around pubs and ting.
Hither and thither.
Hither and thither. Solo-wise, I'm being pulled back into Eats and Beats, I believe.
Me and Matt are too.
Round two.
What date are you playing at then?
Not been confirmed yet, but I've been given August as a maybe.
Yes.
Is it August maybe the 10th?
Yes. Yay! Yay! There we go.
Well, I was put... Yeah.
Yeah, we were given a selection of 3 dates.
And I couldn't make the...
Yeah, and so we went for the 10th. Which is Saturday.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
That doesn't feel as scary now. I've got the ones playing. I've got them.
Yeah.
All right.
Woohoo.
That's
really funny.
Possibly my singles will be released by then. Possibly not. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we'll probably have to sing at that one. And that is a hurdle that we will have to jump at the time.
When you say we... Do you mean yourself and yourself?
We is me. I just
or yourself and your guitar.
Yes, that's something. Well, she's...
I was thinking. Hang on a minute. Is there another member in your?
No, it's we is more sort of. I'm trying to make it feel okay by trying to cut me into different pieces and go right. You.
There will be someone by my
we'll
side.
We'll be fine. You won't be fine, but we're gonna be fine.
We'll get through this together.
Yeah. So we being me.
Yeah. Let's we'll just clarify that. Just clear that up.
Me. We'll have to cross that bridge when we get there. until then, we being me, we'll work on that.
Yeah.
But yes, so there's that and...
Hey, maybe we should have a jam and then do a duet at this Eats and Beats next thing.
She knows. She's
well,
good.
That would be pretty special, wouldn't it?
Ab Hop is good. Ab Hop is good. I'm down for that. Yeah.
Let's rock out.
Let's just do it, you know.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Yeah, with Matt in the back doing like some little beat, and then we'll just jam over the top.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the next thing.
That is.
The next big thing.
That will be the next big ass thing.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have been great. Thanks for coming.
For joining us on this sofa.
Thanks for joining us on this wonderful Seaside Session podcast. I am Claire Pitt Wigmore and...
I am Abigail Hubbard.